This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. My name is Stuart Burks and we have with us...
Anne Cheer.
Finley Mike.
Wajaman.
Okay. Now, Anne, we've heard a lot about your childhood and there's a lot more to say, I must admit. But after you finished school, what happened then?
I had a choice when I went for my interview for Teachers College. They said, did I want to stay in Auckland or would I like to go to Ardmore?
So you decided you wanted to be a teacher?
Yes, at that stage, yes, that was quite definite. And I said, oh, I think I'll go to Ardmore, because at that stage I knew there were about 13 boys, not boys, but 13 students from Dannevirke at Ardmore.
Whereabouts was Ardmore?
Out of Papakura.
Auckland.
Okay. So they were both in Auckland.
It was a residential college.
Ah, okay.
A residential college. And I decided that would be the best place to go because there were students from North Auckland, from all the Hawke's Bay, right down around Pahiatua, everywhere. They went to Auckland. That seemed sensible rather than going to Auckland when I knew I'd be going home for my year one.
Yeah. Was there no teachers' college in Palmerston North then?
Not till later on.
And of course, Ardmore, there's the additional attraction, is the engineering school there.
It was the 100 engineers.
Yes.
You even know the numbers, yeah. Now, were they good looking?
The number of engineers who went through school at Ardmore who married school teachers.
Yes.
Incredible.
So there's a lot of mixing the student life with.
Yes, they were hard cases. We had a lot of fun, especially on April the 1st and things like that.
Okay.
Where they put toilet paper all around, all over the trees. They put a toilet up on the administration block. They put one of the lecturers' bicycles up on. Oh, they did all sorts of things. They even put Condy's crystals in the swimming pool, which didn't go down very well.
Condy's crystals.
Turned it totally red, did it?
Yeah.
Yes. Ah. Okay. So student life was very lively and enjoyable, was it?
Very enjoyable. Very, very good.
Yeah. And you had
a lot of interaction.
And you had residential accommodation on the campus, didn't you?
Yes, residential. So, I was in a two-bedroom cubicle the whole time. I had a choice the second year not to stay there, but we chose to because it was the best hall, I reckon.
Okay. So was the rigid discipline, you know, doors locked at 10 at night?
No, you didn't, because you only had curtains. You were in a great big long
You mean in the rooms you just had curtains, no doors?
There were 44 in our hall. It was a big hall because it was,
So it was more like a barracks than
And you looked, and you were double bunks. You had bunks.
Yes.
And then there were two desks.
Yes.
Two little tall boys. And a double sort of wardrobe, very small double wardrobe.
Okay.
And you didn't, and the ceiling, it didn't go up to the ceiling. You were just from about 2 foot above the bed, so if someone had their light on next door,
it would shine right in.
So
were the girls' halls and boys' halls?
No mixed halls.
Sorry.
That they knew about.
Now, exactly. Stuart, exactly. I think you're right about the barracks, because Ardmore, Papakura was a very big military base, and these rooms would have been hangover from Second World War military training.
No, it wasn't. It was the Air Force base.
A bit like Trentham Hostel,
But it was very interesting.
Ex-Army.
It was a very, very interesting place, Ardmore.
Yeah. And was there... So, the funding... Were you support? You were given grants or you were paid to study?
Yes, we were paid. We paid for our board, and we got a little. There was a little grant, a little bit left over at the end of it, which we had to collect once a month.
Yeah,
and it was really that was another interesting thing because my name being Andrew, my maiden name being Andrew, and invariably, the person who gave out the pay would be Mr. Zinzan. And you know where he started, don't you? Instead of starting with the A's, he
started with the Z's.
So I was the last one to get my
Yeah. So if you were paid, were you bonded as well? When you finished, you had to go to certain...
You went back to your own hometown usually.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's why it was that's why it was better to go to Ardmore rather than stay in Auckland, because I'd have still had to have gone and I wouldn't have had the associations. But it was a really lovely college. We had a lot of fun. We used to go out to sections. That's teaching sections.
For
a month at a time, 3 months, and 6 weeks in your last in your second year was the main one, and you'd go in a troop carrier.
Okay.
Yes.
And for those studying to be teachers then, was it mainly young women or 50-50?
We had Section T there, and Section T were the ones who'd come back from the wars, older men and everything.
Yeah.
And I was asked by one of the men to do his washing for him, and I got paid and did his ironing. And the guy who was in the laundry at that stage, he chose the students that he thought would be reliable enough to do this sort of thing. And it was interesting because, you know, it just gave you a little bit of extra pocket money.
Okay.
If you're prepared to do it.
Yeah.
And,
But in terms of proportions, do you think, would it have been about 50-50 male and female?
No, far more female than male. Three quarters to a quarter, or a little bit between a quarter and a third.
Okay. And was there a distinction between teaching for primary and secondary
school?
There's
no secondary teachers there. They're all primary teachers. About
400. Oh, okay.
Between 300 and 400 there.
Okay.
It was quite big. But the other thing that you'll find interesting is that they had a billiard room, and the girls weren't allowed in the billiard room. That was the boys' domain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a separate girls' domain that the boys...
No, that was the interesting part about it. Yes.
Oh, maybe they felt the boys were so outnumbered they needed a refuge.
The staff wars lived in state houses on the campus. And we it was the nickname of the slums.
Yeah.
You'd be a self-sufficient community there. You wouldn't have even had much contact with Papakura, I suppose.
Oh, yes, we did. We went into Papakura once a week.
Oh, yes.
And we had time there and we went in on the troop carrier because we worked on a Saturday, but we had Wednesday afternoon off. So that was interesting. And then we could go shopping and do all sorts of things. And we came back and then Saturday morning we did sports. Very, very sport orientated at Ardmore.
With any with your sport, would that be a mix with the engineering school, or was just purely
that was completely independent. But but we did have quite a bit to do with them.
Yeah.
From time to time.
So then you was posted back to, or you took a position in Palmerston North then?
No, back to Woodville. Where I lived at home for the first year.
Right, and had a teaching position though?
Yes, yes, I was year one. Probationary assistant, you were called.
So were you given much assistance when you first started teaching? Much guidance by the older teachers?
Yes, I was a bit lucky because the lady who was in charge of the new entrance at that stage, she taught my youngest brother and sister. She was back relieving because the teacher that was there at the state was overseas or something had happened. She was doing something. And so we had two rooms were sort of separated but with folding doors because that used to become our hall.
Yeah.
If you know Woodville School at all, it's still like that, apparently. The kids would be at the blackboard doing some writing with their chalk. And if she heard any noise, she'd tap on the board at the back on her side.
Yeah.
And if there was any other noise, she'd tap twice. And if she had to tap three times, she was into my room. And I had absolutely no control problems.
Yeah.
She was a wonderful lady. Wasn't all that popular, but she was a wonderful lady because she was so good to me and helped me no end. I was very fortunate.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, part of your
commitment was to do country service, wasn't it?
That's right.
And was that counted as your country service
yes,
then?
Yes. You'd had to do 3 years country service. But I actually did country service all my life, so it didn't matter. So that was okay. But no, it was interesting.
Mm.
Yes.
So what schools then did you move on to from?
I went to Metamow School out of Dannevirke just for a wee while. No, not next. I went to Metamow School out of Dannevirke. That's north between Dannevirke and Norswood. And I was there for just about a year. And that was a two-teacher school, became a three-teacher while I was there. And then I came back to Dannevirke to... I was married at that stage, so when I went to... No, I wasn't married when I went to Metamow, but I was married, sorry, but I had no children. And then like when I had children, I stayed at home until the youngest one was three. And then I started school at... I did a wee bit of time out at Metamow and then went to Hillcrest School in Dannevirke, which was a brand new school, only been going for about a year, if that. And I was there for 26 years. And then I became the assistant principal. And we had a lot to do with the students when Palmerston North Teachers College opened. We had students in our classroom. So even some of the residents here, one of the residents in particular, I knew her husband because he was a lecturer at Palmerston Teachers College. And he used to come into my classroom when I had students. Mm-hmm. So,
and Sandra was a pupil there in the first year.
At Palmerston.
Mm.
Yes, yes. Well, we had some of our teachers on the staff. It was reasonable. We had about 13 staff there at one stage. Yeah. And some of the teachers had been at Ardmore, then transferred for their second year to Palmerston. So that was interesting. But no, we had a lot to do with the students. And
were you teaching the same age of pupils all the time?
Basically new entrants, year ones, year twos.
Did you notice any change through your teaching career? Were they very different later on compared to earlier?
Yes. I think the behaviour changed. And I think their attitudes changed a bit, you know?
Yeah, in what way?
They didn't... Children later, much later on, didn't show the same respect, although when I was teaching in Matamata, they were very country children. That was a two-teacher school that went to a three-teacher. And they were very good, but that was a school that was, at that stage... was very much you had the farming community and then you had the community of people who worked at the dairy factory at Wakaroa and everything. So you had two distinct groups of people in the school. But I found the children there harder to cope with than the children in Dannevirke, interestingly enough. And I don't know whether it was the mixture or not, but Dannevirke children...
Were they less motivated to learn? Their backgrounds didn't value education so much, do you think?
Some did and some didn't. I think that was the difference. There was quite a wide range. Okay. But in Dannevirke, the children were very well behaved, generally speaking, because they were nearly all country children at our particular school. The town children went to the other two schools at that stage. And they were... Lovely. We had lovely
country children would mean that they were from farming families or farm labourers.
Yeah, what mixture? But the parents were very because it was a new school. We had a very supportive group of parents, and they were lovely. They worked like anything. The school committee and the PTA.
So they had a choice to send their children to.
Yes, yes, they did. They did, and it was very, 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 very good. But education has changed completely. I feel that it has.
Do you think there were big changes in children's attitude with the introduction, the advent of TV in those early 60s?
It could be.
Yeah.
But I think it's more to do with tomorrow's schools. I'm not a fan of tomorrow's schools. when Tomorrow's Schools came in, and that's when I first went to Matamata, was just after Tomorrow's Schools were introduced.
And that was with having boards of trustees. And
the, yes, and you did away with the inspectorate. The inspectorate, for some reason or other, had a... The particularly in the Hawke's Bay Board, it was a small education board, they had inspectors attached to... They had their own schools. And in, because they had their own schools, they knew all the teachers in the school. And they knew the ones that they could rely on to do jobs for them and be supportive and that sort of thing to other teachers. And I think generally speaking, the staff were much happier because they felt more secure.
Yeah.
And they never... you had your own inspector always, unless they were having a school inspection, and he never came near you. The other inspectors came, and you were rated and graded, and I mean, I was lucky. I always got a very good grading, so I had nothing to worry about. But if you did your job properly, then you had didn't have anything to worry about. But you didn't spend all your time doing bookwork. You had to do a certain amount of bookwork.
You were there to teach.
You were there to teach the children, yeah. and you were there hands-on with the children all day. You did your bookwork after school at night, and you didn't have... It wasn't onerous.
Yeah.
But...
And did you feel the inspectors were trying to be helpful? Or?
Yes, they were good. Well, our inspector was good anyway, and I didn't really have any problems with any inspectors. We had the same one for some years, and he was a really, 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 really nice man.
So what was the relationship with the Ministry of Education then? That was... Did you have much contact with them?
No, because the inspectors contacted them, basically, as far as I know. We didn't have... They didn't visit us. I don't remember it, but we did have lots of visitors.
The Education Board was the greater authority,
That was
it?
The greater authority, yes. We did have visits from them, not very often, but they'd come to some things. And you always... And you had... See, Danny Vick would have had a representative at least on the board.
How did your remuneration seem to compare with other... occupations? Did you feel that teachers were being paid reasonably? Or
yes, well? I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, didn't hear many growls. Mm. You just got on with your job and accepted what you got in those days. And if you had enough to live on and do something a little bit extra and save a bit, well, you were happy. Well, you had your super to come and go on, you see, knowing what was happening at the end of your teaching career, if you...
Did you think teaching gave a decent standard of living, or it was more, if it was women teachers, it was a supplementary income?
Well, for a start, women didn't get equal pay. When I first went back teaching, it came in quite a bit later on, and I can remember when it came in, and the men said, if you're going to get equal pay with us, you're going to do exactly the same amount of work. And it was really quite funny because they decided that they would have helped shift desks and things like that earlier on. Then they didn't do that, but they soon got over that.
Yeah.
But it was really quite funny. They were a wee bit upset about it, but they realised that women did do the same amount as men, but perhaps not quite as much physically, but in other ways they did it. You know,
exactly.
I mean, I was in charge of the morning tea about 20 years at least, and I was asked to, you know, be a welcome of guests and things like that,
Do you ever feel that you wish you'd maybe done something else other than teaching?
No,
that's good, isn't it?
No, I enjoyed my time at teaching.
That's great.
It was very, very rewarding. Yeah. And we had our interesting times, which I'm not going to talk about, but very interesting times. You know, teaching's like every other profession or every other job. You get people with their problems.
Oh yes.
On the pay issue, there was a difference. Was that because of the concept of a family wage for men should be paid enough?
I really don't know. I really don't know. I can't answer that. But we just got accepted what we were given.
I think that was the feeling earlier on, wasn't it?
It might have been.
That the man was the breadwinner. And,
yes, that's right. And the woman should be home. But
what was the attitude then? You said you took 3 years off when you had a child?
Longer than that. About Morris was had just started school when I went back.
Okay.
He just started.
So was there, I mean, I know sometimes they said at various times in some occupations, if a woman got married, she was supposed to stop work and
stay home. And it was like that originally, yeah. You know, but they were short of teachers. They were short of teachers, you see, and they begged me to go and would I please relieve till the end of the year? And yeah. Of course, I, okay. 26 years later, I was.
Still
childcare relatively easy available then?
Nick went to kindy in the morning and I picked him up at lunchtime and he came to school. And he used to go around the senior classes and do phys ed with them all afternoon, this little 3-year-old. And I used to say to them, I said, for goodness sake, if he doesn't behave, please send him to me, you know, in the afternoon, because the kids weren't doing... They were doing things like art and that in the afternoon. And anyway, he hardly ever came. And they said he was wonderful. The children looked after him and he joined in everything. Mm. And he's still a teacher. Head of counselling. So just shows, doesn't it, that... Mm.
Yeah. Now, in retirement then, were you at the stage where... There was compulsory retirement at 60, or that was...
No, I lost that. I had to teach until I was just on 65.
You had to teach? You were allowed to?
I was allowed to, but I chose to because I wouldn't have been on the... Wouldn't have got the pension at that stage, you know.
Okay. So, because I remember when I arrived in New Zealand 40 years ago, and I remember some men saying, you know, why do we have to retire?
I think at one stage it was compulsory.
So you, where did you complete your teaching career then? In Palmerston North or
Metemata?
I had Metemata, right?
Yeah, and I trained to be a. I decided that I'd had enough of being an assistant principal, and I wanted to do. It had always been my passion, reading. And when the opportunity came to train as a reading recovery teacher in my last couple of years in Dannevirke, I trained 1 year and then I gave up and decided that I wanted to do reading recovery. So, of course, I gave up the assistant principal's job, so I went down in salary.
Yeah.
But that didn't bother me because I found it so much more rewarding. And then my partner and I decided we'd get a job in Metemata, so we went to Metemata and lived there for 10 years.
So your partners were teachers?
He was, yes.
He was.
Yeah.
It's a lovely area, Metemata, isn't it?
Yeah, so we had very good friends there. And
yeah. Yeah.
But then we decided to come back because of family reasons. Came back to Palmerston.
Okay.
In retirement, virtually at that time.
I was in retirement then. Yeah, yes, okay. yes, I was in retirement.
So just and very then, briefly for a couple of minutes. Then,
yes.
How have you enjoyed retirement? Is it?
Oh, I love it here.
Yes,
I've been here for 10.5 years.
That's
now.
That's in the retirement village.
Yes, yeah. Yes, okay. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah,
you've got to keep yourself busy though, don't you, Roger?
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's a lively community, a lot of very active retirees here.
Mixture.
Yeah.
And your interests are within the community or you've got outside interests?
I've got outside interests as well. Well, and my job, my basic job here now, I've been chairperson of the committee for a few years, but now my main job is to a meter and greeter of new residents and and everything. And I really enjoy that. Because I think it's important that... But the first thing I tell them is don't give up your outside interests.
Mm. Yeah.
Because there comes a time when you've got to, if you're not well, and that's time enough to be institutionalised, in my opinion, not when you're fit and able to do other things.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I still... Until I got vertigo, I was doing aerobics and all sorts of things, but I just... feel it's not quite safe enough to do that now.
Mm.
Okay.
But I still do lots of things. I'm still active. And
yeah. And that's why, some people with a retirement village, is it just a lot of old people together? But there's a lot of contact with younger people?
Well, your staff are all young for a start.
Yeah.
And they're just lovely and delightful to talk to, aren't they?
They're wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely fabulous people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So what are your outside interests you maintain there?
Well, with the RSA.
Yes.
And I go to the club at Takaro, and I did have, I was involved with Probus until our Probus club was one of the ladies' clubs. I was secretary there for some years. And so when that finished, we sort of folded up, but we still have a dinner, a luncheon once a month, so we still get together. I didn't join another private club, I thought.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.